All right. Welcome, brother. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I thanks so much for taking the time to do this. So I'm joined by Doug McNish today. Doug has a long list of accolades, and I was just chatting with you prior about trying to summarize all of these things. But Doug is a four-time award-winning author. He's an award-winning executive chef, serial entrepreneur, X-Prize finalist, which is so cool, and an alchemist as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about the transformation side, but really just an absolutely beautiful human being that I've got to know recently. So Doug, welcome and thank you so much for taking some time for this.
I appreciate it. Maybe you could just walk around with me wherever I go. You can just say those things. Like, walk into Target, you're like, oh.
Exactly. Yeah, we all need that sometimes. But yeah, brother. So I wanted to just jump right in on things. I mean, you do primarily work and vegan as a vegan chef, correct? And most of your cookbooks and things are vegan based. Is the plant-based diet for you been something that you like? When along your path did you decide to sort of move in that direction? And I'm just curious myself because as I work with more longevity groups and things, I've been sort of trending a little more plant-based myself, and definitely eliminating other things. So I'm just curious for your own perspective how that path started.
Right. Okay. So when I was 20, so I had a really, really rough childhood. I started in the food industry when I was 15 years old in restaurants, and beer was my arch nemesis slash best friend. And by the age of 19, I was drinking and doing drugs, and it was almost uncontrollable. And I was just, my weight was out of control, and I just was not living a good lifestyle. At that time, I fell in love with someone. I met her online. She was 10 years older than me, and she was a vegan. And she started filling my head full of ideas that animals have feelings and that you're going to be healthier and all this blah, blah, blah. And, I needed to make a change. I knew at that time I was 19, and she lived in New York. And so after chatting online for about half a year, I flew to New York City and met her. And I was already cooking at the time. I've been cooking for years professionally. And she started taking me to vegan restaurants and plant-based restaurants, and I was seeing what was done there, and it was pretty cool. And even at that time, this is gosh, almost 20 years ago, there was over 100 vegan restaurants. So I was seeing things done with quinoa and just this weird, wild cheese made from cashews. And so I started adopting that a little bit more into my lifestyle. And you think vegetarian, or at least back then, you think healthier, weight loss, things like that. I was a young guy, so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give this a shot. And so I went from eating a high processed diet back then to kale, quinoa, lentils, right, broccoli, all organic. And of course, I started losing weight, feeling better. And then over the course of a couple of years back then, I lost about 100 pounds. And I stuck with the vegan thing for a really long time, actually. So it's been a ride. It's been really interesting in that world.
Yeah, so I mean the transformation, and I want to talk about those 100 pounds as well because a lot of people, when I see your photos, it's incredible the transformation you've made. Before you actually lost the physical weight, and I know you've done a lot of work on yourself, and we've talked, offline a lot about our past and our childhoods, and I feel like we have a sort of a parallel path, and a trauma and the healing that's come from that. When did you first get into some of that work? I guess the inside work first.
So that's a good question. So back then, so as of recording this interview with you, I'm 41 years old. So I lost 100 pounds when I was 20, 21, and it took me 2 years. I did it slowly. And then I was a young man, good looking, getting out into the world. And I had not done any inner work at that time. And I was still living at home with my mom and dad. And so I move out on my own, and I just get right back into my demons. And got back into the partying, got back into eating whatever. So I just had not done any of that inner work. So, you know, from the age of 22 up until, oh gosh, I mean, even just last year, I was up and down, always in weight. So I would go up 40, down 30, up 70, up 80. And it was really in 2017, I had put on way too much weight. I had become an entrepreneur in 2011, 2012. And over the course of years, I just neglected my body, neglected my mind. And always the demons were in me. And so it was 2017, had won Best Chef in Toronto, huge honor, not Best Vegan Chef, Best Chef. That was voted on by the people. So that wasn't even something I was aiming for. I had Public Kitchen in North York in Toronto. And then I had Open Mythology down in Parkdale. All these accolades coming in, taking pictures with people, signing autographs. Traveling, I started to travel a lot more, do a lot more speaking in other parts of the world. And then I just hit a low point. You know, I thought this is happiness, right? This is what I've been chasing for all these years. And there was like a spiritual death in me. And then my dad died. And it was like, okay, I need to make a change. And so that was sort of like the moment around that. Like when my dad died, it was like, okay, I'm done. I got to change right now. And I didn't know what that was. So I'm grateful that moment happened.
Yeah. It's interesting how when we don't do the inner work, and regardless of the external successes and the things we create, how that pattern and program and those demons are still right there to pull us back, and until we actually do that real work. So when you actually then in that moment, when your father passed and you decided to kind of go all in, and, you know, I know that feeling of kind of dabbling in and out and then really dedicating it to doing the work. Like what was the why then for you after that going forward to get on the path, stay on the path and really get in there to face those demons, and as uncomfortable as that can be?
Yeah. I remember one morning, turning over in bed and talking to my then wife and saying, I got to do something. I'm not good in the mind. And it was like, check into a mental hospital or start taking medication, or I needed some sort of intervention. And I don't know what that was. Something told me, like, Doug, you got to change. And, I had years, I had chased, you know, success, this quote success. I had visualized cookbooks. I had visualized traveling. I had visualized going on TV. I had visualized opening restaurants, and I made that happen, but at the expense of everything else. And so I actually, my then wife, she had done a program called a Life Reboot Program, and this with a dear friend in Toronto. Her name is Kimberly Carroll. So I called Kimberly and I said, hey, I need some help. And she's a spiritual coach. She's an advisor. She's a beautiful human being. So that summer I met with a group of 8 other people over the course of 2 months. We met once a week and we shared and we journaled and we meditated and all these things that I had never done. I'd never been vulnerable. I'd never opened up and said, oh, this is what scares me. This is, so it was that moment where it was like this start of a journey that I didn't know was starting. But right away I started to notice and feel a difference, even just by sharing a little bit. I was like, oh, this feels good. It's tough to talk about what scares me and what hurts me. But I can't continue on this other path. So we did that for 2 months, and it was a huge life-changing moment. And Kimberly was trained in a method called the Hoffman process. So her program took aspects of the Hoffman process, but, you know, and that helped a lot. And I'm always grateful for her and the work that she taught me and that I did, but it wasn't enough. And I thought it was, I was like, oh, I'm healed now. I'm the Buddha. And, I still battled with this like binge drinking and pills and food. Food was always my like you know? And so it was funny, like over the course of the next several years, I'd be chugging vodka at 2 a.m. watching Eckhart Tolle videos, like holier than thou stuff. And I'd have a hangover for 3 days, but I'd meditate. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. But you know, I wasn't good. So it's been a process. It's been a whole process, and it continues to be to this day.
Well, that's, you know, it's so fascinating when, you know, I think for men specifically, you know, you mentioned just being vulnerable and sharing in a place that's a safe place like that, where you don't feel, you know, typically growing up, that would get you a punch in the face, you know, to share things like that. Right. And it was, but how cathartic and how much that can really help just get the ball rolling in terms of doing that work and opening things up. And I think for a lot of men, we just don't know how to express those feelings. We push it all down, and that's why we drink and we have all kinds of other unhealthy patterns and behaviors just to cope with that feeling. So you ended up going on to do the Hoffman program as well.
Yeah, I mean, so COVID happened to all of us, and everyone had different experiences. Mine was really challenging. Those 2 years, the restaurants closed, my revenues went down. I got into a really dark place. I drank a lot. I got angry at the government. I admittedly wouldn't wear a mask, things like that. And it just got to a point where I was really unhealthy, and moved to the United States. Really grateful for that opportunity to come to America. I still love Canada, but you know, I currently do live in the US. And within a few months of moving to the United States, my weight was 315 pounds, and I was, you know, I'm only 5'7", and I was having a tough time walking up the stairs. I couldn't do 5 push-ups. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. It's like, once again, this like life epiphany of like, okay, you got to make a change. I don't know what it is. So find a new doctor, get blood work done, find a new therapist, start talking to this therapist. March 6th, 2023. So almost a year ago, diagnosed with diabetes. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, I look over on my bookshelf in my office and I have 4 cookbooks. I've traveled the globe talking about healthy food. I've written the books on healthy food. Yet here I am dying, literally dying, diabetic at age 40. And that was the coming to God moment I needed. I had been warned for years about being pre-diabetic. And every time I just... the patterns, the addiction, the, you know, what I now know is this severe childhood trauma that I experienced was in control. There was this little boy inside of me who was scared. And, for years I had the Hoffman process, pamphlets on my bedside table. I was never ready. And I looked at them almost every day, and it's expensive. It's a lot of money to go. And, but I picked up the phone last summer and I said, it's time to do this. And I called them, and there's usually a 6-month wait list. And I got on the phone and they told me that. And I was like, no, I need this now. And while I was on the phone, the young lady said, oh, wait one sec. We just had a cancellation. Can you come next month? And I was like, yes. She's like, well, you have to leave for a week and a half. It costs this much money. You have to do. I was like, you know what? Yes, I'm just going to do it. And I hung up the phone, paid the $500 deposit. And then I just made the wheels happen. I put everything in motion, and I did it September of 2023. And I will honestly say it was one of the biggest life-changing things I have ever encountered in my life. It really helped me find peace, empathy, joy, and most importantly, forgiveness. Forgiveness for my mom and dad. And yeah, I can't stress enough how amazing that the process is.
Well, thank you for sharing that, brother. I mean, it's being in that place, you know, again, that pattern reemerging until you went in to really do the inner work. And, you know, the inner child piece, you know, for some people, I know that you hear that term, but, you know, and really until you've done some of that work to connect with that little Brian or that little Doug and the little whoever is listening right now has that person that's still there, you know, and we wonder why we react certain ways, and everything is a reflection or reaction of our childhood in many ways until we actually do some of that work forgiveness is a big one, you know, and it's when we're holding on to that, we can drown in those emotions.
So as of recording with you today, it's Thursday, February 15th. I've lost 116 pounds in the last year.
Wow. Good for you,
brother. And, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And, I would say every 10 pounds, I felt like I was releasing another layer, something else I didn't know about me. And it continues now. I'm not done. I'm still looking to shed another 15 or 20. And, it's just been remarkable. And there was one specific day in the Hoffman process for me that was the most positive, and it was a practice of writing letters to mom and dad. And then, but it's much longer and much more detailed. I won't get into every part of it, but I'll never forget that evening. It was 7 hours in already to writing, and we had to do everything in silence, all 40 of us. Even dinner was done in silence, and that was on purpose done so we could really sit with what we're experiencing. And there was a moment where I went outside and I started shaking, and I was like, I think I saw the devil. And all I wanted was vodka. And my teacher, my personal teacher from Hoffman, rolled up at that point, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, I think I just saw the devil. I don't even know what that means. And she's like, it's working, continue. And I was like, holy shit. But I can tell you this, that the next day, I had suffered with IBS for about 8 years at this point. Really terrible IBS. It was gone. It was gone. Like, it was gone. And to this day, it's gone. And I attribute that to finally finding peace with my mom and dad. And my lesson has been, it's amazing the trauma, the hurt, the emotions that are stored in the human body unless they're processed. So
yeah, that's a beautiful story, brother. And to your point, I mean, we store so much in the body, even generationally. They say, you know, many generations of our family trauma is stored in our DNA as well. And if it remains trapped in there, we wonder why sometimes we feel like we're trapped in a discomfort and unease and suffering. And so this work it's so important to really let go. And, you know, there's books written on letting go, you know, oh, just let it go. it's an easy thing to say, very, very difficult thing to do, but fuck, when you free yourself and you free your mind, there's a sense of peace that you may never have experienced, you know, that maybe in that perfect vodka, cocaine, women, whatever it was for you, in that perfect wave, you might feel like you're there for a second until you crash on the other side of it. But that feeling's available all the time, and you know, that peace and joy. And so, you know, for you, Doug, like now that you're getting lighter and you're letting this go and raising your vibration, how do you, you know, what brings you the most peace and joy now? Is there an activity or a practice or something that you do to really sit in that space energetically?
Ooh, that's a good question. not to sound evangelical, but the Hoffman process, the other thing it taught me is that I have everything in me. I don't need anything else. I don't need, quote, fame or success or money or jewelry or women or drugs or booze or anything. And so that's been one of the biggest realizations. And I continue to sit with that in my heart to this day. And it's nice to have nice things. There's nothing wrong with having jewelry or beautiful experiences or nice things in life, but I don't need them. And that has just been the biggest lesson that I've learned. So for that, it's like, I sit with that every day. And gratitude has literally rewired my brain to be able to say, like, fuck, like I have this beautiful home. I have these recovery shoes I'm wearing right now because my legs are really sore from working out. Like I have a soft shirt. I have, you know, I have this beautiful mind and this beautiful heart. So those things are important to me, but I've also turned my, I've learned that, and you've alluded to it, is that like my little boy inside who's hurt is never going away. And I still experienced what I experienced with my mom and dad. And there was still extreme abuse and neglect, and I'm a human being. So it's not like that's going away ever. It's a matter now for me of continuously doing the work every day and being present with it. and noticing it. But what I've now addicted to and fallen in love with is fitness and, and specifically CrossFit. I, for me as a type A entrepreneurial personality, there's nothing better than getting in that gym. I'm in the gym most mornings at 4:45. And just my CrossFit coach has changed my life, and just doing all this crazy shit that I didn't even know existed. I've been your dudes like lifted and, you know, done chest presses and stuff, but like the stuff that I'm doing now at CrossFit has just changed my life. So for me, I would say besides the time with my son, the best hour of my day is 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. where I'm getting my ass handed to me in the gym. I love it.
Me too. I'm right there with you. I do the early training, and it's interesting how it's when you're getting your ass handed to you and doing, you know, pushing your body, which by the way, is so important for everybody to do. And, you know, especially as we get older, muscle mass is a very, very, is like one of the top indicators for longevity, keeping the body strong, but it's a mind game too. You know, there's always resistance, you know, when you're on your way in, you're like, fuck, I don't feel like doing this again. But you know, at some point the switch gets flipped and you're like, okay, let's go. And then, you know, and then the mind kicks in as well to take you deeper into that practice. Doing hard things, I think, is so important as we get older. And that's one of those things. Do you do any, cold exposure at all?
Love it.
You love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I follow and see what you're doing. I love it. In Toronto, I want to give a shout out to Othership. I love what they've been doing. I followed them since they started in their garage, and I love that they're expanding now into the United States. I love ice baths and I love hot saunas. For me, it's like, you know, as an addict, someone who's been an addict his whole life, I always chase dopamine. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, after the cold plunge, my dopamine spikes and it's like, shit, this is the best natural high one can get. So yes, I love.
Yeah. It's a nice sustained dopamine too, rather than the ones that send you up into the stratosphere and then drop you off in the ditch on the other side. You know, I love that there's a community that's built around it as well. As you mentioned, Othership. I mean, there's people getting together now to do hot and do cold and, you know, dance and listen to great music, completely drug and alcohol free. And, you know, they're still creating that community, sense of community, which is important.
100%. You know, as a former party boy, admittedly, like I was 5-6 nights a week party boy, drinking, going out, like, you know, I've re-entered that. I'm single now. My wife and I have amicably split, and we're becoming best friends. And so it's a beautiful thing. We're co-parenting our amazing child. And, you know, I'm like out slowly getting into the dating scene, and it's like going out, and I've been out a few times. I was in Toronto a few months ago, went out to some parties, and like, can I party without drugs and alcohol? And it's been this whole question. And the answer is yes. I actually have a better time partying that way than I used to with the booze. And then I still wake up at 5 a.m. and go train.
Yeah.
So for me, it's best of both worlds. And yeah, a huge shout out to Othership. I think they're building something beautiful. And for me, it's like a reason to come to Toronto alone is just to fly in and go to Othership Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. You alluded to the fact, and this is just such an important point that you make about doing the work. It's not something we can start and stop. We're not healed today. You know, it's a process, this lifetime and the next. And it's something that we have to notice, as you use the word, which is mindfulness, really just being aware of those emotions and those patterns and that pull back to unsavory habits and such. And then, you know, you also mentioned gratitude, which, you know, in knowing you for as long as I have, you practice gratitude. You're always speaking about gratitude and grateful, and it makes people around you feel good. Like when it's a very kind and beautiful thing, and it does absolutely rewire your brain. I mean, it's neuroplasticity, but when you got to package these things, I believe, sort of intentionally into a routine to some degree, to create some sort of system so you are practicing them every day. You did mention, you know, the morning gym workout, but is there anything else that you plug into your day, or what, your meditation, or do you do something before bed? I'm just curious about the daily ritual.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know, it's I have a friend that I did the Hoffman process with, and I talked to him, we stay in touch, and he's like, oh, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. He's like, I have to get up and do this. And I try and remind him, you get to do this. This isn't something you have to do. This is something you get to do. And so for me, I've switched over. I used to be a night owl, sleep in till whatever, and wake up feeling like shit. Now I'm in bed 8, 9 o'clock. Some nights I go to bed at 10. I'm a wild guy. you know, and then I get up at 3 or 4. And with cutting out alcohol, it's really changed my energy levels. And it's the first thing I noticed several months in, like, holy shit, like, we're meant to have this much energy. So for me, it's the morning is sacred. And training, come home. I'm home by 6:15. I make a tea, I have my lemon water, I get my supplements, my vitamins, and then I sit. And I sit in various forms of meditation for anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. And I don't have the exact same meditation that I do every day. I like to change it up. I've become, I believe, much more self-aware of what I need in that day or what my little boy inside needs. So, you know, if I do feel my heart is closed, I'll do a heart opening meditation. If I find that I have racing thoughts because I'm human and this is just part of our brain, you know, I'll do a meditation that calms my mind on purpose. And then I have other various Hoffman practices that I've learned through the Hoffman process. And I do try and practice those every day. And one is called a quad check. And that has arguably been the biggest change for me. You talk to body, intellect, emotional self, and spiritual self. And you do anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, and you hand on heart, and you, what does your intellectual self need today? What is it saying? What does your body need? What does your emotional self need? And what does your spiritual self need? And then I write those down, and it's just one page. And I find that when I take the time to talk to each aspect of my quadrinity, as Hoffman process calls it, I'm golden. I'm not chasing, you know, and it's been fantastic because my body will say, I need lots of protein today, or stretch, or yoga, or workout, or don't, today's a rest day. I talked to myself this morning. I'm like, my body's toast right now. Don't go work out. You're going to get sick.
Yeah.
So, and for me, it's almost non-negotiable. I'm not perfect. I'm a human. A couple days will go by where I won't do it. But for the most part, I'm very strict with it. And business partners, anyone, they know that's Doug's time. He's not responding to you.
Yeah.
So morning, sacred mornings for sure.
Yeah. Oh man, I love that you protect the time for that. And that's a serious practice. And you're putting 1 to 2 hours in on the cushion to practice and go within. And I, you know, you said so much there that was just such incredible wisdom. You know, for many of us, we don't protect that time. We get up in the morning, we look at our phone, we look at the news, we check our emails, you know, we scroll through social media, and then we just run right out the door into our, or whatever we do for the day. It's there's no time for that centering. And just what you're sharing there, like the amount of intuition that you developed through that practice where you know exactly where you're at every day, you know, today I do need a little bit more of this or less of that to stay in the center, because we have to, the mind and the body, it's all the one thing and we have to take care of it holistically. So yeah, I just commend you for that, brother. And for anybody listening, I mean, you know, I repeat this continuously, but it's protecting time for that self-care practice. And you know, I always say, like, you know, self-care is the practice, and from that, self-love is the feeling. And, you know, I think that's super important. The heart opening for me, I mean, that's a big one. I get very closed very quickly if I don't intentionally keep that space open. And, you know, for some people, you know, this might sound a bit woo-woo, but when the heart is open, we're attracting so much more into our lives. It's literally, as Joe Dispenza calls, the magnet to help us receive what we're putting out there into the world. If we're putting intentionally good things out, good things come back. Wanted to get your take on self-love and self-worth. And it's interesting when, you know, you're sharing a bit about your story, about having all these things, and that sometimes, you know, people who have great material success, or they seem to be very, very confident, but it's never, ever enough. And it's that self-worth part of it. What have you learned about yourself around that?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I struggled for years and years. And, you know, listen, as a kid who didn't have his dad around because he worked too much, and his mom had severe mental health issues, so she wasn't around mentally. You know, I seek validation from outside sources, and that's natural, right? What is it we need as a child? Like, we need love and validation and to be seen and heard. So not getting that for my entire life, from age 8 till early 20s and even beyond, well, what did I do? Of course I sought validation from outside sources. So it's not that I'm not grateful for my books or whatever I did in business and career and in plant-based food, but I now know that I did that because I didn't get that when I was a kid. And that was the biggest realization to me, was like, holy shit, you're doing this for ego. You're doing this because you're hurt. You're not doing this necessarily because it doesn't mean I didn't have passion for it. I did and still do to a certain degree, but to have that realization, understand like, oh, okay, I became best chef in Toronto. Why do I have corn tattooed on my arm? Why do I have an artichoke right there? You know, it was definitely to be seen and to be heard. So it was July 5th of last year, where I have a former business partner. He's a celebrity personal trainer, and he was helping me with weight loss a little bit. I would text him questions, you know, creatine and branched chain amino acids and stuff. And he was helping me out. And it was July 5th, and it was the first time I said to him, for the first time in my life, I love myself. And I paused, and I looked at this text, and I was like, what the hell did I just say? That's a thing. And it was that time that I'll never forget ever since then. It's like, I have self-love, and it's been something I'm fostering and getting to know continuously. And, you know, getting to know my true self, not this mask of plant-based chef or author or even husband or even father. Like, who is Doug? What is Doug? And so that's been a beautiful journey. And the heart-opening thing was, I didn't experience that until Hoffman process. And you're right. And I love Joe Dispenza, by the way, as well. I think he's figured out how to be a human being. Yeah. full stop. He's figured out how to be a human being.
Yes.
He's a genius. And yeah, the heart opening, I'm like you, I can close pretty quickly as well. And it's the work and it's the gratitude. And it's just, you know, for me, it's realizing like I am all I need. And that heart opening feeling, man, it's better than cocaine.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It's better than beer, cocaine, cookbooks, signing autographs. Like, it's for me, I try and live that way every day as much as possible.
It's beautiful, man. Yeah, the just that feeling, you know, that feeling from the inside. And you know, I just wanted to state one more thing here before we wrap things up. And, you know, it's, when you say everything is everything we need is inside, you know, I heard that my whole life and then it was only a certain point in my life that I actually understand what that meant. And it was because, you know, when there's enough practice and you can believe something, but there's a knowing at some point when you experience that feeling of being connected to our source of to the wisdom, to all the things that we connect to from the inside out. And so I just, you know, I just want to say that, you know, that's such an important point for anybody listening, that, you know, if it's been an outside in journey for you, really having a trust and a belief in connecting to that inner world and that inner connection that we all have connection to. And when we feel that, when we open that door, things do open up, and it is better than coke, and it's better than all of the things combined together. It's beautiful, and it's wisdom, and it's love, and it seems to be like what it is, who we are. You know, I was a bit of a diatribe there, but it was just that you know, that inner thing that really sparked that for me.
I love it. It's beautiful, and you know, it's the cocaine and the ecstasy and the drugs and the quote success, the booze, the women, like it goes away. And not only does it go away, that, you know, you crash and then you're chasing that. And so this feeling of I have everything is, like you said, it's better than all of it combined. And it's just a really beautiful realization to come to. And I try and sit in that every day, especially when I go into these patterns of, because I'm human, you know, because I'm self-employed, I don't live a quote easy path. I don't have a paycheck. I don't know what that is. I haven't felt that for a long time. So, you know, I choose to live this lifestyle of like that because I know that there's magic out there. And as I live my true self and my true spirit, that life is magical. And I try and experience all of that all the time as much as I possibly can.
Yeah. So you're doing some amazing things, brother. And, you know, I'm just curious, you know, what is it that drives you now? You know, what is it that really gets your feet on the floor in the morning? And, you know, and I mean, you don't have to like, this is my purpose, but just like, what is that driving force for you to do things like be a finalist in X Prize, which is just a phenomenal accomplishment to get so far? You know, what is that for you?
That is such a good question. You know, it might sound corny. You know what? Fuck that. It doesn't sound corny. Love. That's just it. Love. And I like love for self, love for others, love for source, love for spirit, love for my business partners, love for, you know, I'm not opposed to making money. I think as long as it doesn't control me, there's nothing wrong with having money because it allows me to have experiences in this world to make the world a better place. But I think love, I don't really know what else to say, and whether it's my food or X Prize or another book or a training session or whatever, I think it's love. And I think honestly, this is what human beings need, require. There's nothing else. All this other bullshit, this corporate greed, these vacations, daiquiris by the pool. I think it's nonsense. I think we all need love. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a great answer, brother. That's love is at the top of the food chain, indeed. And it's such a beautiful thing. And when we think about love, it's more of a way of being maybe than just than an attachment, as we're sort of traditionally taught to think of love. What do you want to share, brother? Any how can people find you? Well, you know, I mentioned X Prize. What are you up to? What's first and foremost for you right now?
Love.
everything's imbued with love, man.
X Prize is awesome. I'm trying to win a, not trying. We're going to win a global competition where I've been working on creating a piece of plant-based whole cut, nutritionally equivalent, environmentally friendly, price parity catfish for 2.5 years. The finals are in 6 months. We're scaling a company. But honestly, I'm not even into that much self-promotion anymore. I have a big Instagram following, and it's at Doug McNish. And I honestly try and use that to inspire people, just to talk to people, to share with them. So that's what my goal is. If other things come in business and stuff, then that's cool. But honestly, give me a follow if you want. And it's just been great sharing my journey and my experience with others. And they've opened up to me about their struggles. And it just heart-opening, beautiful realization that everyone struggles and we need each other as human beings. And that's it. Don't really want to plug myself too much. I don't know. As a guy who plugged himself for 15 years, I'm just like, it's not really important to me anymore.
Well, you certainly are inspiring, brother. And I really, really appreciate it. I'm grateful for you for taking the time today, and you know, lots of love to you, and you're going to kick ass in that X Prize. I can't wait to, taste that final product as well. So thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.